Okay, we're up and running. So my name is Ian Reynolds. It's the 26th of March 2017, and we're in the home of Tony Harrison in Egglescliffe Village. Thanks for your time, Tony, for this. So perhaps you could start by telling us when you were born and how you came to be living in Egglescliffe Village.
Yes, of course. So I'm Tony Harrison, born in 1941. Lived on Teesside now for about 55 years, and in Egglescliffe specifically since 1967. Initially, my wife lived on St Margaret's Estate off Butts Lane. This was exactly 50 years ago now. But since 1983, that's for the last 34 years, we've lived on the village green. And I'm here to talk about Egglescliffe Conservation Area, its establishment and what it's done for the village since designation. So I'll start way back 50 years ago in 1967, when the government of the time passed the Civic Amenities Act, which established the concept of conservation areas. That act was subsequently amended by the Planning, Listed Buildings and Conservation Areas Act of 1990. Anyway, let's go back to 1967, or shortly thereafter, when the act was passed. At that time, several of us in the village have formed a little group called the Egglescliffe Village Amenity Society, which was a precursor of the present era, the Egglescliffe Area Residents Association. It was a group of us who came together to try and ensure that the village character was preserved and that the village was neat and tidy. That group, the Amenity Society, in about 1969 or 1970, learnt about the establishment of conservation areas from the Act a few years previously, and decided that sound to be very relevant to us in Egglescliffe Village. So a little subgroup of the Amenity Society was formed. I can't remember quite how many people were in it. I think probably about five or six of us. And I can remember certainly four names of those involved. There's myself, there was Johnny Smith, and both of us still live in the village. There was a man called Johnny Slack, and another man called Ian Duncanson. I suspect there were one or two others as well, but I'm afraid I can't remember. Well, the first thing we did, our little subgroup, was contact Durham County Council, because at that time the bodies responsible for establishing and assessing conservation areas were the regional authority, and at that time, before the days of unity authorities of course, Durham County Council was responsible for Egglescliffe. So we contacted them and said, how about us becoming a conservation area? We think we've got we tick all the right boxes. The council duly came back to us fairly promptly, as I remember, and said, yes, we think you've probably got a good case, but we can't do anything about it at the moment, I'm afraid, because we're so busy on our first one, which is going to be Durham City Centre, the cathedral and city. So I'm sorry, you'll have to wait a few years. It's purely a manpower problem. We think, nevertheless, you've got a good case. So we met and had a chat about it and said, well, why can't we do the report that's necessary ourselves? Why can't we do the assessment ourselves? And that's exactly what we did, starting in about 1970. We worked through 1970 in the first part of 1971, and we wrote a report. Johnny Slack, one of the members of our little group at the time, was involved himself in local government, and gave us an inside track on how to write the appropriate report that met all the appropriate government standards. It was split into two parts. Part one was a description and analysis of the village and its character, and part two were views on the actions needed to achieve designation as a conservation area and to maintain that status. Part one, first, let me run through what we did. We focused on the factors that make Egglescliffe Village special, in our view at the time. Still relevant, I believe, today. We talked about access, the fact that there's only one surface road, one vehicle road into the village, making essentially a cul-de-sac and preventing all the problems that come from through traffic. There are two other routes into the village which we noted in our report, two footpaths, Stony Bank coming up from Yarnbridge, and the track coming north from the building, the estates that have been built to the north, along the allotments to the north of the village. We talked also in part one in some detail about the history of the village, focusing particularly on buildings, our church, which is a Grade 1 building, Egglescliffe Hall, which is a two-star building, and the fact at the time, and still today I believe, we've got 22 Grade 2 listed buildings. We touched on all sorts of other historical items and the overall history of the village, going back to Norman and Saxon times. We also focused on the viewpoints, both of the village and from the village, particularly those of the green as you emerge from Butts Lane, of Yarm from the village, and of the village from Yarm. And a final big chunk of part one of our report was about the trees, which give the village its special character. Those on the green, many of which were planted in the early 1910s, and the groups elsewhere, or in some cases, trees which exist in isolation. In fact, 9 trees were specifically described, and the historical backgrounds covered in the report I noticed reading it through a day or two ago. We then moved on to part two of our report, which was our proposals for conservation. We talked about the need to retain the identity of the village by prohibition of demolition of any of the attractive buildings, virtually all of Georgian character and age. We talked about only carefully planned new build going in. For example, we identified 3 infill residential sites within the village scope, all of which have in fact been now satisfactorily infilled by new build. Regrettably, one or two of them are not to the Georgian character that I personally believe would be more appropriate. Nevertheless, new build has been carefully planned on appropriate footprints. We talked about the need for no industrial development or any large development in the village which would immediately destroy its character. And also the need to maintain and not increase the access to the village, either by footpath or by road. We noted the need for more tree preservation orders and proposed more tree planting. We also noted the need to safeguard the rights of way in the village, particularly along the river bank below the village, which has now been successfully achieved through the designation of the Teesdale Way, of course. We suggested the village green itself, already at that time being subject to rather punishing treatment from vehicles, should be protected by natural stones being placed around the village green. That still has not occurred. The village green is still suffering badly from traffic, unfortunately. We noted the need to reuse derelict land that existed in the village at the time, for example outside the south wall of the church, which were some rather unkempt allotments at the time. That has been successfully achieved. And also we noted the need to retain characteristic building features, pantiles, transom windows, some Yorkshire sash windows that exist throughout the village. Rather probably controversially nowadays, we recommended the removal of the World War II pillbox that exists in between the houses on Butts Lane and Yarm Road, a Type 23 pillbox, so I'm told. We suggest it was either removed or screened. It has now been screened by trees, but I wonder if today views have changed and we would regard it with a bit of pride as a historic building. Anyway, that's one for the planners to think about. We proposed improved street lighting. We proposed preservation of the village pump on the green at the time. Regrettably, that never happened. But most importantly, in part two, we defined what we believe should be the area of the conservation area. We proposed that the village itself, Butts Lane, the approach to the village, and all the fields to the south and east of the village as far as the river should be part of the conservation area to maintain the features I've talked about, such as the views to and from the village, from Yarm, etc. And then we submitted our report. This was in April 1971, I think, to Durham County Council. Believe it or not, all our proposals were accepted by them, and they found the need to do very little more, I understand, in terms of more paperwork, assessments or reviews to award the village a conservation area designation. They did, however, slightly change the area of land we proposed to be covered by the conservation area. They actually extended it. They included land to the west of Yarm Road, where, as local villagers will know, there are historic railway artefacts, including some rather interesting coal drops. So those two became part of the conservation area, which was designated in 1972. As a matter of interest, our report at the time was very cheaply prepared, typed copies, 19 pages long. We had 7 maps in. We had 1 sketch on the cover of the church. We had no photos, which at the time were difficult to get and photocopy. So that was the situation and how we achieved conservation status. One of the first in County Durham at that time, thanks to the work put in by the village itself at that time. There are, of course, now 11 conservation areas just in Stockton Borough Council area alone, and I understand nearly 10,000 conservation areas throughout England as a whole. But we in Ebbsfleth can rightfully claim to be one of the earlier, and I believe one of the most successful ones. Moving on. What's happened since our designation? Well, firstly, responsibility for the upkeep and establishment of the conservation area moved from Durham County Council, firstly and transitionally, to Cleveland, the Cleveland, short-lived Cleveland Authority, and then to Stockton Borough Council when unitary authorities were established on the 1st of April 1996. One of the first things that Stockton Borough Council did in May 1996, as it happened, was they reviewed the boundaries of the conservation areas in the borough, including Ebbsfleth, and almost immediately removed from the conservation area the fields to the south and east of the village running down to the river. When the villagers and the parish council at the time asked why, we were told confidently that this meant no lesser degree of protection because those fields were part of the Green Wedge. In fact, my personal belief and that of many is that a Green Wedge has nothing like the degree of protection that a conservation area has, and that, in my view, was very much a retrograde step, however that's the situation as it exists today. Stockton Borough at the time also removed from the conservation area the area to the west of the railway and also the houses on the north side of Butts Lane, possibly lesser areas of concern. Moving on, 10 years later, in January 2006, the Borough Council published a planning document which was covered a lot of matters in the borough, but it included a reappraisal of all its conservation areas in the borough at the time, including Ebbsfleth. And it's interesting to note in that 2006 report, with respect to Ebbsfleth, what they wrote. They produced effectively an expanded version of our 1971 document, confirming virtually everything that we had in our initial proposal for conservation, supporting everything that was written at the time about the features of the village, which were unique, important and deserved conservation. And they came to an overall conclusion in 2006, I quote now, that Ebbsfleth Conservation Area is generally in good health and does not need any significant intervention at this time. Specific points that reappraisal in 2006 made included the following. that the village would benefit from a programme of maintenance and repair work, a point I think still relevant today in 2017, that there was too much in the way of inappropriate PVC windows and plastic rainwater goods. Another point still, I believe, of equal validity today. They bemoan the loss of features such as door foot scrapers, but I'm not aware of any initiative to prevent that continuing. And they also noted the many inappropriate door replacements around the village. However, in 2006, they proposed no further changes to the boundary of our conservation area. So that's where we stand today. If you ask me for a personal view of that work and the developments over the last 30, 40 years, has it been worth it? Overall, the answer's got to be yes. It has been a success. The achievement of designation as a conservation area has enabled Eggleslie Village to retain much of its character, its unique Georgian character. Proposed inappropriate developments in and around the village have largely been fought against and resisted, successfully resisted, in part because of the fact we have conservation area status. But I believe we, and particularly the Borough Council, who still have responsibility, could do a lot more, relatively cheaply. For example, I think control on changes to Grade 2 buildings, and as I mentioned at the start, we've 22 of those, involving things like PVC windows, etc. There's insufficient control on those retrograde changes. A lot of buildings have been changed internally as well as externally. Grade 2 building designation, of course, covers the whole building, not just its external frontage. I think more could be done to raise awareness of listed building and conservation area status amongst residents, many of whom are new to the village. For example, it would be cheap and easy to circulate this 2006 comprehensive report on the conservation area. It would only involve producing about 150 copies. That's hardly going to break Salford Borough Council's bank balance. I believe they should do more as well to monitor small developments in housing. General upkeep in the village can certainly still be improved. Stony Bank, for example, potentially a jewel in the crown of the village, really is a rather shabby disgrace. The village green is still being battered by lorries. There seems to be no real plan to tackle that. And probably the greatest threat still facing us, and I'm still not sure that conservation area status will protect us from this, is developers constantly chipping away at weak points in the village environment and surroundings. Proposed, for example, for development on the north side of the riverbank to the south of the river. All villagers believe should be resisted, and I'm not sure that conservation status is going to help us much on that anymore, since that falls outside the conservation area. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's very good. I think we'll just call a halt at that. It's just, for a lot of people, that will be news, how the conservation area came into being. So I think it's a very, very useful contribution.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Thank you.